There are lots of measurements of education around the country, almost too many to keep track of. It helps when all the states are lined up side by side. A recent ranking from the personal finance website WalletHub lined up all the states and the District of Columbia from number 1 to number 51. We're not number 1. Neither one of our states. California showed up number 41 in school quality, Oregon right behind at number 42. Jill Gonzalez from WalletHub is back to fill in some of the details. Hi, Jill.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure. Is this is public or public and private?
This is just public K through 12 school.
Mm-hmm. One of several rankings out there all show California and Oregon 35 or below. What criteria did WalletHub use?
So this is definitely a comprehensive approach. It not only looks at academic outcomes or school finance, but it accounts for performance, funding, safety, a class size, instructor credentials. So we looked at 32 metrics in all.
And Adam McCann's article announced that the rankings mentioned coronavirus in the second paragraph. I mean, how, if at all, was virus and handling of it factored into the rankings?
Well, in terms of safety, we did look at COVID-19 numbers in terms of cases and in terms of the rate in which it's transmitted. So both cases and transmission rate. And then we also looked at the existence of digital learning plans and how that has been handled throughout the pandemic.
So I noticed that, particularly on the digital learning part of it. Was that something that had existed in previous rankings, or is that something new to the WalletHub survey?
When we've done this study, which we've been doing for about 5 years, this actually did exist, maybe for the past 3 years or so, because it has become more important. It's actually helped dropout rates in the past for more of an alternative schooling option. But now it's obviously much more looked at, much more important. And it essentially looks at whether or not a state has guidelines in place for comprehensive strategies for schools deploying technology, trainings for teachers, instructional resources for building those remote lesson plans.
All right, so again, 1 through 51, let me give the top 5. Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Jersey, Virginia, New Hampshire. Again, on that listing, we have California at 41, Oregon at 42. If you're curious, Hawaii is at 40, South Carolina right behind both of us at 43. There are two major categories here, quality and safety, and how much of the total score rests upon those two major categories?
So quality was weighted more, about 80%. Safety, obviously, still important, at about 20%. And that definitely contributed to these metrics and kind of the shakedown here. California, for instance, ranked last when it came to safety. We looked at all 50 states and D.C. So ranked 51st in terms of safety. Oregon did a little bit better, 39th in safety, but worse in quality at 42nd.
Yikes! California 51 in safety. What aside from COVID concerns goes into that?
Well, right now California sees the second highest percentage of threatened or injured high school students, about 3 times higher than say a Massachusetts or a Colorado. So that was one metric that definitely brought these rankings down. As far as the COVID metric, that's, again, looking at the state level. So state level, middle of the pack, of course, when you're looking at city to city, that's going to be different. And then finally, we're looking at both the number of school shootings and any reports of violence on campus, which California also did poorly in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so but an urban area like Los Angeles, for example, might take California a lot lower in safety, where things like that don't happen in school districts like in Yreka, for example.
Exactly, yeah. So this was looked at the state level.
Mm-hmm. Jill Gonzalez from WalletHub, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, as we explore WalletHub's study of schools in 50 states and the District of Columbia. By those rankings, California shows up overall at number 41, Oregon at number 42. You can join us on the Exchange with your questions and comments at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. It looks like in the quality ranking, one of the metrics is how schools rank on other rankings. Is that part of what you've got here, Jill?
Yeah, so we have the presence of the public schools in the top 7 best, and according to US News and World, There, California does pretty well. It has about 8% of the top 700 best schools in state that ranked in the top 10. Oregon only has 1%, for instance, so that ranked down at 38th here.
There are some individual metrics I notice within the ratings that get a single and double weight, like the dropout rate counts twice, essentially, where the graduation rate for low-income students counts once. What's the rationale for the difference in weighting?
So the weighting comes due to, one, how many metrics there are in total and which play more of a part in terms of determining, you know, which school systems are outweighing others. We developed the metrics in tandem with professors throughout the country. So a lot of times if they agree that certain metrics should be given more weight, that's what we take into account here. So the dropout rate, for instance, is a measure that schools and states are looked at each year to see, you know, where there's progression, where there could be improvement. Over the last year, for instance, California actually did better in terms of its dropout rate than Oregon. California right now is at 15.5%, which is definitely high. It's worse than average. Oregon is at 20% now, which is actually the third highest in the country.
Okay, yeah, I see Oregon only has Arizona, New Mexico, and the District of Columbia behind it in and how high its dropout rate is, so that is not good. Managed to stay out of the top five, I noticed, in a few other categories, and the bottom five, for that matter, too. One really interesting thing, and I think this would be particularly of interest to the likes of Wallet Hub, which is a personal finance website, is the fact that money alone doesn't appear to change the picture. Both states, California and Oregon, show as high spending and weak school system. What kinds of factors drive up cost but keep quality down?
Exactly. So the funding is there. And again, if this was breaking down district to district, these numbers would look vastly different depending on where you're looking. But, you know, the funding per pupil is pretty much there in both states. But there seems to be a disconnect between that and, one, the pupil-to-teacher ratio is still high in these states. So even though the funding is there, the attention might not be. In Oregon, there's about 20 kids for every one teacher. In California, there's more like 23 for every one teacher. Those are both in the top five in terms of the highest numbers. You look at the Massachusetts, the Vermont, a lot of these northeastern states that tend to do better in these rankings. You have anywhere from 12 to 16 students for every one teacher on average. And that seems to really help when it comes to performance levels and dropout rates.
Yeah, I think all of the states with the lowest pupil-teacher ratio are in the top 10. And then the highest pupil-teacher ratio, we have, 47 through 51 is Nevada, Oregon, Utah, California, and Arizona. So there we are, both of our states in that bottom five. Do you have any information in here about salaries, though? I mean, teacher salaries state by state.
In terms of teachers, we more so look at the share that are licensed or certified public K through 12. This does not look at a teacher salary. We actually have a separate report that looks at just the states where it's good to be a teacher. And that's from the teacher's perspective, you know, not necessarily the students or the parents.
All right. I'm curious, as I look at the chart, there's a couple of charts here on the website at wallethub.com, and just look for states with the best schools. It'll get you right there. But both California and Oregon, as I mentioned, up in a zone where their little discs are in red, showing that they're high spending and weak school systems. I'm curious then at the other end, where you have states like Nebraska and Virginia and Florida, where you have low spending yet strong school systems. What would account for states where they're not putting a lot of money into the school systems, and yet the school systems appear relatively good?
Yeah, so I would say that, again, comes down to things like pupil-teacher ratio, where we do see that there are more attention given to students, even if the funding isn't necessarily top. And we also see things, especially in Florida, I would say that this is a good case in point, is that there are alternative learning methods in place, whether it is digital learning plans, whether it is kind of a half and half method that was in place long before the pandemic. You know, that really helped the dropout rate because students have an alternative. You know, if the school environment is not for them, they don't necessarily have to go to dropping out. There are other methods in place to help them, and even other types of schooling in place. So I think those two things have really helped. The other metrics that we look at, apart from the digital learning plans, are out-of-school access to instructional materials and guidance on accessible technologies. So when states have, you know, those three metrics that are strong, they tend to be doing better regardless of funding.
I noticed that. So I guess that begs the question is what period is measured in these rankings? Is this all within the pandemic? Is some of it pre-pandemic? How did it all divide up in terms of time in which the data were collected?
So this is going to look at essentially 2020 in general. We don't have all of the 2021 new metrics yet. So this is really going to paint a picture on how these states did during the peak of the pandemic.
All right, so looking at some of the other, I'm still fascinated by this chart where you got a state like Utah, which ranks 50th in spending and yet ranks 16th in overall school system quality. Short of deciding to move to Utah or to move to another state to get away from a school system where California is ranked 41 or Oregon ranked 42, what do people do with the information you've provided here?
So this is for parents, it's for teachers, it's for students, administrators, to look at what your state is doing and compare it either based on population, based on spending, based on just your neighboring states in your region to see maybe what other states are doing or how they're ranking and seeing what you can improve upon or maybe pat yourself on the back in terms of, you know, what's going right. But obviously this is a huge relocation time for people who are looking into schooling. It's also, if you're staying put, just a good baseline to see how your state is doing from year to year and how it could be improved, and obviously something to bring up in your PTA meeting.
Yeah, your PTA meeting, your school board meeting, talk with your state legislators. The rankings again from the I'll do the top 10: Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Jersey, Virginia, New Hampshire, Maryland, Delaware, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Vermont. So only one state west of the Mississippi there. And then at the bottom, we have California at 41, Oregon at 42, followed by South Carolina, West Virginia, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Louisiana, and New Mexico, all compiled by Wallet Hub, where Jill Gonzalez works. Jill, thanks for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Anytime.